Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in on the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed and on the No Ceilings YouTube channel. I'm Maxwell Baumbach, and today we have a very special guest. He is Oklahoma guard Milo Suzan. He goes by Los. Los, how are you doing today?
Good, man. I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. We're really excited to have you. You are a name to watch this upcoming season, whether you're a fan of college basketball or the NBA draft. So really, really excited to kind of get into your game. And the first thing I'd like to ask you, for people who aren't familiar with you or are newer to the NBA draft space, you know, they like the NBA, they're, you know, dipping their toes in college, the draft, things like that. How would you describe your game to someone who hasn't seen you before?
I would say, I'm a point guard, 6'4". So I got some good size on me. I got the ability to get down to the lane and create for others. I have the ability to knock down shots. Have a pretty good floater game. I think probably what I'm mostly good at is the pick and roll. I'm good at throwing those type of skips and knowing when to hit the roll guy and knowing when to get to the basket. So I say that sums it up a little
bit. For sure. Yeah. So what got you into basketball growing up?
Probably my dad, my family.
Yeah, yeah.
My dad has been a basketball coach for the past 20 years, so I've always been around the game. I'm also the youngest, so I was the little brother who was always running around the court trying to play up. So I'd say probably around three I've been playing basketball.
Yeah, I was the youngest too, but instead of like getting on the court, I was eating too many snacks when I was at my siblings' games. So I didn't go to Oklahoma to play basketball like you did.
I was forced to pick up the ball.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you have a dad who coaches. You played for him at one point, but even before we get to, you know, playing for him in high school and things like that, how did having a father who is so knowledgeable about the game kind of affect your development growing up? Was there more pressure on you? Did it just open your eyes to more things earlier on? Like, how did that kind of play out?
I think it separated me. I think me and him used to watch film after games in high school. So I feel like a lot of kids weren't doing that. And as a freshman, having that type of confidence where you know your dad's a coach, I mean, most of the shots I took in the game were shots I worked on with him. So it wasn't really I had the ultimate green. So, I mean, it helped me a lot. It helped me a lot for sure. Definitely.
That's great. For sure. And so you got to a point where you were, you know, playing for your dad and things like that. You ended up transferring. You played it, you know, big time, you know, high level high school basketball, NIBC, Geico, like, high level stuff. What went into that decision? Because at the same time, I'd imagine, you know, you'd want to, you know, help your dad, you know, go to state titles and things like that. But at the same time, for your individual development, you know, it's a chance to compete against the best prospects in the country, best players in the country, get some, you know, more great coaching from a different perspective. How did that decision kind of play out? And what was that like for you to make that adjustment?
Yeah, shoot. That was my sophomore year. I lost in state with my dad. My junior year, we were expected to come back. We had a young team who they were going to be seniors. I was going to be a junior. The plan was to return and win a state title, but COVID had happened. They had ended up canceling the season in Vegas. And we had a lot of good guys, like a lot of big time names who were in Vegas for sure. So I had to go to Prolific. I guess that choice, I mean, they kind of hit my dad up about it. I mean, it was kind of the only option I had. Really.
Yeah, I'd say it's play or not play at that point, which is tough.
Yeah. So after COVID, a lot changed. And then I just guess I came late into the team in November, but I really helped them out a little bit. They kind of needed a point guard. They had a lot of size. So I kind of just had to adjust, and then I got the chance to play in Geico against other good big names, really good teams. And that developed, helped my game a lot.
For sure. And ultimately you end up attending Oklahoma. What was your recruitment like and what led you to Oklahoma? Because Oklahoma, it's, you know, Power Five school, big school, I think stronger basketball history than a lot of people realize. new coach who had a lot of success, been to a Final Four, things like that. So what was ultimately kind of the main factors that led you going there?
Definitely Coach Moser. I felt like me and him had the best relationship, and I feel like that's the main part of what comes into recruiting, having a good relationship with the head coach. But I had it was really down to them and Utah, honestly. Them, Utah. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about staying home with UNLV, and then the fourth school, Cal. Mm-hmm. We're all really good coaches, but I think it came down to just the connection I had with Coach Moser and the development plan he had for me. And, I mean, shoot, I had a pretty solid freshman year.
Yeah.
So I can't complain, man.
Worked out. Yeah. Yeah, so let's talk about that because you mentioned – oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just saying he stayed true to what he was telling me in the development and the plan he had for me, and he's solid.
Yeah, because I wanted to get into that because obviously at the Division I level, and especially when you're at a Power 5, a school like Oklahoma, where the expectation is you're trying to compete, you're trying to get into the tournament, things like that. If you're a freshman, like nothing's going to come easy. Like you're not going to be handed minutes. You're not going to be handed a role. And you kind of came in, you were not in the starting lineup initially, and it took you a while. Like you earned that spot. So what was it like kind of going from, hey, I'm first stepping foot on campus, to kind of scratching and clawing and working your way up and eventually getting that everyday starter kind of position on the roster?
What was it like? I mean, the first couple, just like any other freshman, the first couple weeks of when you get there, the game is faster. Got a lot to learn. That's what I was going through in the beginning of the year, which is probably why I didn't start earlier. Mm-hmm. But once I started to get a feel and really seeing how coach wanted to play, I understood how to guard. I know how to guard. It kind of went down. It kind of got easier for me. Mm-hmm. I said the game started to slow down. Shoot. And I mean, I'm in the gym a lot, so I watch film. And I feel like the more film you watch, the easier the game gets for you, the slower it gets. And that's what happened. I ended up starting. Next game, I played really well. The next game after that, we played Arkansas, and I really made a name for myself.
Yeah. I remember seeing that game at the time and just being like, all right, this is going to be a guy maybe a little sooner than people thought. Was there anything specific that really clicked for you, or was it just getting used to the speed and kind of pace of the college game?
I think it was definitely probably the speed. Mm-hmm. I remember the first couple weeks of practice where I was like, yeah, this, I had a great guard with me, Grant Sherfield, who was a senior. Mm-hmm. And, I used to tell him how the game was fast to me. And, I think he helped me out a lot. And, I kind of got a lot more comfortable as mm-hmm. the time on.
Yeah, that's definitely something you hear about a lot. Like I remember I did one of these with JT Shoemate before Portsmouth, and he was a guy who transferred up from Division 2 to Division 1. And even like that, like as opposed to high school to the Power 5 level, he was saying like the first game he played, he was like, it felt like the game was just happening around me and I didn't even know what was going on. So like, I think that Division 1 speed and acclimation time, it's a really normal and kind of common thing. And then all of a sudden it was interesting with you because you kind of flipped the switch before conference play. Like yep. You'd almost like you see it the opposite way with a lot of freshmen where they might start well playing the smaller schools. Then you go into conference play and production kind of nosedives a little bit with it was the opposite. How did you kind of navigate? Like you found your role and then all of a sudden you're playing in the toughest conference in the country. Like, was that part of it daunting or was it just like, hey, I'm hitting my stride and this is working for me?
I just trusted my work. Shoot. Yeah. Like I said, I'm in the gym. And that probably gave me a lot more confidence than I had earlier in the year. And it ended up working out. I seen the staff and I seen the players really starting to believe in me around that time. And they really, I mean, the situation I was in, they needed me. So I feel like that played a part.
The need. Yeah, so for sure. So let's get into your game and what you do really well. The playmaking and kind of creation stuff, both for yourself and for others, really is what really stands out at 6'4". Your handle and footwork are really polished. You keep the ball on a string. You start and stop well with the ball. good body control. What is your kind of process like when you are on the, when you're putting the ball on the deck? And is there anything that you're kind of looking for anytime you're starting to initiate the offense, whether it's on an island or in a pick and roll?
The first thing I'm looking for is to see if there's a guy down there protecting the rim. Mm-hmm. If there's not, then I'm trying to get down there and start the domino, whichever guy side helps. I think I'm pretty good at passing with my left and my right hand. So I think that's a special gift that I have, whether I'm throwing with my right or my left. That's really the initial start. Mm-hmm. I think in a pick and roll situation, if I'm in a pick and roll, I'm trying to see who's tagging the big. If nobody's tagging the big, then I can drop it off. If somebody is tagging, then I'm trying to make the skip. So, I mean, that's really what I'm looking for offensively, to try to get my guy.
For sure. Yeah. And I think it really shows that you kind of have that knack for, like you said, kind of looking at the rim and seeing what's going on there. And if you can get there, one thing statistically with the advanced numbers that really stands out is you were efficient as a finisher at the rim, but you got to the rim a lot more than a lot of guards that went into the NBA draft last year that were high picks in the NBA draft last year. How did you kind of adjust in terms of physicality as a freshman? Cause it's most freshmen don't do very well at the rim and they have a hard time getting there. So why do you think it was that you were able to get to the rim so consistently and do well when you were there?
It's hard to be physical with a guy who's shifty. So pretty shifty guard. And I also got a good size on me. So it's kind of hard to put a bigger guard on me that I'm quicker than, or a smaller guard that I'm bigger than. So I feel like a lot of the times I'm just trying to touch the paint. A lot of good things happen when guards get to the paint. So that's really the main thing. Get to the paint and spread. And I mean, you're saying efficient, like finishing wise.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so most of the guards in last year's draft, I don't have the numbers in front of me. They were usually in the half court around like 50 to 52% at the rim, and you were closer to 54. You took 31.7% of your half court shots at the rim. So again, kind of higher end compared to a lot of guys last year.
Nah, definitely. Yeah, shoot. I'd probably say my size helps with that. I mean, I came in, I was playing at 180.
Yep.
What was I, 180 last year? So, I mean, that's solid as a freshman. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's a good weight.
Yeah, like yeah, you're definitely not tiny. Are you bigger this year? Are you coming in, like, stronger?
Yeah, we had our little weigh-in. I was 194, but we started playing now, so I'm at a good 190.
Nice. Yeah, it's tough to keep that weight on during the season with all the up and down and all the practice and everything like that. So you kind of touched on the passing a little bit. It's really enticing. Obviously very creative, but you see things really quickly. And I think what stands out is your timing, like when you make a pass, your ability to live dribble pass with both hands. It's just really hard to telegraph what you're going to do on the floor. But I think my favorite thing that you do is you read the entire court. Like there's not a pass that you can't make. I think a lot of guys, they go into pick and roll, they're looking at the big, they're looking at the corner, where you're kind of able to see everything all the time. Is that, how did you kind of develop as a floor general and being able to see so many things on the court when it's, for a lot of younger guards, it's more just like one-on-one, it's me and the role man, or it's me, it's the role man, and it's the corner. Like how did that come along?
I played for a good AAU team when I was in middle school who taught me how to play the right way, along with my dad. So, I mean, I'm really just trying to see where the mismatches are and try to, if I see my guy as a shooter, I'm trying to hit my guy in the pocket. I mean, I keep the game simple. So.
Yeah. Yeah. When I think, so would you say it's almost like people use the phrase like know your personnel about like the defense, like you got to know who's guarding you and who's guarding who. But I mean, it sounds like you're saying that's kind of equally true for like who your guys are too, like knowing your guy's strengths and finding where they are and what mismatches they might have.
No, definitely.
One thing I thought was pretty interesting too is that you had a nice little shooting leap throughout the season, but the biggest thing that changed was the volume from three. You started to take more threes a game. Efficiency was really high the whole season. Ended the year over 40% from three. Was there kind of a change in demeanor or confidence or anything that led to you shooting more threes, or was it just kind of taking what was given? You got them more and you took them.
Definitely probably confidence. My beginning of the freshman year, I mean, I've always been a pretty good shooter. I just didn't really fit like that. I was more so trying to get, I knew Grant was a scorer, or trying to get him the ball and get him open. So that was really the thing last year in the beginning of the year. Towards the end of the year, though, I seen that's what we were missing. And me and Coach Moser had multiple talks about me shooting the ball and not deferring. And, I mean, I guess I kind of did change my mindset a little bit towards I seen some growth. So I definitely wanted to take off. And I knew I could make these type of shots that I was passing up. So I just started to take.
For sure. Yeah, it paid off. I thought the results were great. I'm excited to see how that kind of develops into this next year. Your game on the defensive side of the ball is strong, too. I just like to lead with this one. What do you think you do best on the defensive side of the ball right now?
What I do best right now? I mean, I'm pretty good on the ball. I use my length well. I would say I'm a pretty good off-ball defender as well. I do tend to turn my head and ball watch a lot, though. But I would say I'm a pretty good off-ball defender. I communicate a lot. I talk on defense, which is super important. So, I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't really want to.
Yeah, I'm with you on guarding the ball, though. I think I do think that is something that really kind of stands out. What's your mentality on defense? Because I think you're a guy that's pretty tough to shake for a variety of reasons. Like guys, just if it's them against you one-on-one, a lot of guards have a hard time. Why do you think that is?
I think it's probably because I'm actually a lot stronger than I probably look. And I'm really good at getting in front and using my forearm. And then I feel like this year, what I've gotten better at a lot is bullying ball screens and knowing how to, I guess, listen to the command better from the big on what ball screen will be. So, I mean, it's probably my length a little bit. I guard point guard. I have a better, I got more length on me to close out for sure.
For sure. Yeah. And I think with the defense too, it did seem like you did a pretty good job navigating screens and getting around them last year too. Is a lot of that just communication, or is it again, sort of like feel, film study, knowing the opposing personnel? Like, what do you think allowed you to kind of do a good job in those settings last year?
Definitely knowing personnel. Knowing what, as a refusal guy, if the guy's dominant right hand, all of that plays a part. Depending on who I'm guarding, I definitely know the scout before the game, and if I know this guy doesn't like to go left, I'm definitely trying to push him to his left. And if he doesn't like to shoot off the dribble, I'm definitely sliding under the ball screen. So I guess it just really depends on personnel. Personnel is for sure a big one, definitely.
For sure.
Then having the right mindset, wanting to guard is another thing.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And what have you been kind of working on most this offseason? Like, what do you think will be the biggest thing that people who watched you last year and then watch you this year say, hey, that's a little bit different with him?
I think I'm a lot more vocal this year. I mean, Coach Moser's, he's given me a much bigger role this year. So I'm just trying to challenge and be a leader for the team. But game wise, I mean, I'm really shooting the ball. I'm shooting the ball off the dribble a lot better. Not that I didn't shoot it. I just didn't shoot a lot last year, honestly. But I'm shooting the ball, if guys go under screens, a lot better. I see the floor pretty well right now. I'm making some really good passes in practice. What else have I been working on this year? Playing off 2 feet is another thing I've been working on.
Okay, yeah.
Not just trying to throw up something, you know. That's definitely two things I've been working on a lot.
That's awesome. That's really exciting. I think especially the kind of the pull-up shooting and shooting off the dribble, because like you said, last year you're playing alongside Grant Sherfield. And even this year, like, you're a team that has a lot of guard talent. How do you feel like getting to kind of be the lead guy this year, and then that experience of being a little bit more off the ball last year? Like, how do you feel like that's helped you in terms of what you're going to be doing after Oklahoma, like when you're playing at the professional level in the NBA and things like that. Like, how do you feel like that on off kind of ability and development is going to pay off for you?
I mean, shoot. Yeah. We're going to take it one day at a time, but I mean,
And
if I do, I think playing with good guards, everybody in the NBA is good. So
yeah,
I had to play with other good players. And I think that's something I do well. I can find shooters, and I can also play off the ball if I need to be. So I think definitely playing with Grant and playing with Javian this year, I think that'll definitely help me in the long run.
For sure. For sure. Well, we're all super excited to watch this team this year. This is a really, really exciting backcourt. One of the best in the country. And we're super excited to watch it. We appreciate you taking the time to come join us here. Where can people find you on social media if they want to follow along the journey and know more about you?
Shoot. My Instagram is, LossyUzan, LossyUzan. Same as Twitter. So, where I'll be at.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. We're wishing you the best luck this season. We thank you all for tuning in. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as, the No Ceilings NBA podcast feed on your podcast app of choice. And don't forget to go to NoCeilingsNBA.com for daily written content covering the NBA draft year round. Again, Lois, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you guys next time.
Appreciate it.